This podcast is brought to you by Omaha Steaks, all-American steaks and savings with code word Howie. Go to omahasteaks.com and put in code word Howie in the search bar. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, my deplorables, my irredeemables, my Neanderthals. To all of you, I welcome you to the Grace Curley Show on this gorgeous Friday in New England. I'm so excited for the show today because we have so much sound to get to. We have so much news to cover, but we also have a lot of great guests. My first guest right now is Chris Bedford from The Federalist. He's also a native of Massachusetts. I don't know if you guys know that, but Chris, thank you very much for joining the show.
It's great to be back.
All right, Chris, well, where I want to start, I think the biggest news of the day is Andrew Cuomo, but I think I want to start with D.C. because you're a D.C. guy. You've been seeing these insurrections daily at this point. And I wanted to ask you, what's going on there? What's the vibe when you walk down the street?
Yeah, I don't think people are quite around the country, and it's fortunate for them, are quite realizing what they're doing here in D.C. I live right now in the most paranoid city in America. People wear double masks when they're walking around outside, and there's barbed wire, there's Constantino wire, there's National Guardsmen, there's armored vehicles, and there's 7-foot fencing all throughout my city. My street is cut in half by razor wire, 7-foot fencing, concrete barricades, and armed National Guardsmen, all of which are standing around. And they have been going through some terrible weather, the poor men and women who are stuck here as political props. They're standing around waiting for some kind of invisible army that Congress thinks is coming for them that's right across the Potomac River. None of it's happening. It's all just theater. And everyone here in my city, it's so sad, is so accepting of this. Like, well, of course they have to be here because they have to deter the evil, violent Trumpists who are coming to kill us all. It's completely insane.
Now, Chris, in one of your recent pieces, it's titled "The Capitol Police Chief and Her Democratic Bosses Are Lying to You All to Hold Our Capitol Hostage." You mention Chief Yogananda Pittman. Can you tell people about what she's doing? You say she's perfectly content to use her own men and women as political pawns and scapegoats.
Yeah, absolutely, and she is. She's the acting police chief of the Capitol Police who stepped in after the last one resigned after the riots. Now, you hear Capitol Police, and you assume that this is an elite force, a group of people who are really well-trained, kind of like a Secret Service, able to defend the U.S. Capitol. But the reality is that the training standards and the leadership of the Capitol Police are so poor and have been so poor for so long that it's a place where a lot of people join before they transfer to a police department, but you have to retrain, even for a local police department. Your benefits don't transfer, for example. They're not treated the same because they don't have the same standards. It's a problem of leadership. Now, the leadership is also very unpopular with the rank and file, who are good men and women coming to work trying to defend the Capitol. But they're just trained to be essentially badge checkers and then political pawns. So when they were attacked on January 6th and they had uncoordinated leadership, uncoordinated responses, poor fitness levels that showed in the time of crisis, their leadership called in the National Guard, yesterday requested another 2-month extension of the National Guard based on an insurrection that never happened, based on random internet chatter, had been putting out statements to the press saying QAnon and some other conspiracy are coming out to get us based on intelligence reports that our own FBI say there's no intelligence reports that indicate this. They're using the Capitol Police officers as a pawn and a scapegoat instead of trying to defend their men and women and make them into a better force.
I'm talking to Chris Bedford from The Federalist. And Chris, you make a really good comparison that I didn't think of, but you say it's very, what's happening with this, tomorrow might be the insurrection or the next day might be the insurrection. It's very similar to slowing the spread of this virus.
Yeah, the 2 weeks to slow the curve. We're approaching 1 year. I tell you what, I will be holding an illicit St. Patrick's Day party. It feels like we're almost in Ireland during the troubles trying to get the sneak past the soldiers and the razor wire with your Guinness just to drop it off in the alleyways. But we started off with a wall that came up. And all of this, by the way, was not because this was a riot that was out of control. It wasn't because this was a civil action that hasn't been seen, or an incivil action that hasn't been seen in other cities. It's all because of theater and because the police didn't respond correctly and reinforcements weren't called up earlier on January 6th. There was not enough crowd control measures. Then we got the massive fencing that's going across Independence Avenue, Maryland Avenue, Constitution Avenue, major arteries of D.C., and they extended 2 weeks. And then they said they wanted to wait till the inauguration was over, okay? And then they wanted to wait until the impeachment trial was over. And then they wanted to wait 2 more weeks just because QAnon, some guy in Indiana, was on the internet and said that he should go down to D.C. It's completely insane. And yesterday, I went down there. There was no one down there but reporters and joggers. The weather was mild. It was a nice day to be down there, a nice day for an insurrection. But there was no protesters, no rioters, no nothing like that, just media. And the same day, the chief of the Capitol Police said, we need another 2 months of the National Guard occupying our city.
Yeah, and if you guys want to see, go to Chris Bedford's Twitter at CBedfordDC because he posts a lot of photos in D.C. and what's happening down there. Chris, my other question for you is about Andrew Cuomo, because a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this, you see a story and you start, you know, going through the talking points, which is the media ignored this for so long. But what I like about your story, you say there's only one reason Democrats are turning on Cuomo, and it isn't a noble one. You go through why they're suddenly hopping on this sexual harassment, you know, way of getting him out. And break down for people why you think people like Bill de Blasio and Nancy Pelosi are suddenly washing their hands clean of Andrew Cuomo.
Absolutely. He's a convenient sacrificial lamb. He's outlived his usefulness. Joe Biden made it into the White House. Everything is fine. The Democrats don't need him as much anymore. Also, he's a liability because Cuomo did a, on its face, incredibly stupid thing by transferring all of these COVID patients into the homes of the most vulnerable and not even allowing their families in to see it and then blaming everyone but himself. These are the kind of things that are trouble, but he's not the only one who's done this. The governor of New Jersey did this. The governor of Pennsylvania did this. Governor Whitmer over in Michigan has done this. There are huge amounts of deaths in these states in our elderly homes, and what the Democrats here are going to do is say, you know what, you guys are right. We need to have accountability. 1 year after this was reported by the Federalist, Fox News, the Daily Caller, other places, say we need to have accountability. And Andrew Cuomo made young women feel uncomfortable in his office and harassed them. Therefore, we have to get rid of him. And I want to rewind that clock and say, wait a second, that's a problem. That's something that should be dealt with in a position of authority, especially one of public trust. But he covered up the deaths of 15,000 of his most vulnerable citizens. I actually think that's a bigger problem. And they're going to say, you know what, you're right, he's a bad sexual harasser, let's get rid of him. And at the same time, they're going to have the attorney general or some other Democrat in New York come in and take his place, just like he took the place of Elliot Spitzer when he took Governor Spitzer down when he was attorney general.
Yeah, and I think you really put it well in this sentence. You say, everything he is guilty of before accusations of sexual harassment, his former allies are also guilty of until now. And that's true. If this nursing home scandal becomes the focal point, then a lot of other governors are going to have to answer for, you know, their own mishandlings of these situations.
They absolutely will. And we're seeing right now in Pennsylvania and some of the other states that have Republican legislatures, the beginnings of investigations of some of this stuff. In Pennsylvania, half of the deaths, for example, took place in nursing homes. And that same order was given out by Governor Wolf. A very, very stupid order, even at an early time when you and I didn't know that much about COVID yet. We knew that the elderly were vulnerable, and yet they still did this. And then if you go down to the White House, you see the person who headed the health department for Pennsylvania being nominated to head the Health and Human Services. These people are being covered for by the Biden White House, by Nancy Pelosi. Well, they just washed their hands of all their sins with Andrew Cuomo, the jerk from New York that they can just get rid of now.
Exactly. And Chris, lastly, and I don't have a ton of time, but I will be reading your piece about Dr. Seuss in the next segment because I was really moved by it. Can you explain to people why you do think this Dr. Seuss thing is a big deal. There seems to be this desire from people like Brian Stelter to paint this as Republicans overreacting. But in your piece, you kind of break down why this is different from the other things they've canceled.
Absolutely. And they were saying Republicans were overreacting just the day before that these were all canceled, saying, listen, there is no ban. This is just conservative tripe. Well, it turns out there is a ban. Now you can't get it on Amazon. Now you can't get it on eBay. But what's weird about this is the attachment that these quote-unquote experts are doing. Dr. Seuss is something that unites us all. Every race, every income level, wherever you come from in the United States, people read it when they're learning to read. People read it at Christmas. People read him at graduation from high school or maybe from college. And they read them to their children. No child has ever gotten anything out of this but pure joy and happiness and these fantastical pictures. So have these people go into our childhood memories. They lack so much joy themselves, nothing of that in their heart, and say, this is hurtful to children. It's a lie. It's insidious, and it's stealing our ability to spread joy and tradition and what we grew up on with our children and our children's children.
Chris Bedford, thank you so much for joining the show. You can follow him, guys, on Twitter at CBedfordDC, and make sure you check out his stuff at The Federalist. Chris, I'm going to read this entire, well, maybe not the entire thing, but I'm going to read a lot of the pieces from your Dr. Seuss story, because I do think you hit the nail on the head. It's these experts, and I laugh when I hear that, because these experts are, they're just fun suckers. They ruin everything. And like you point out, they literally steal Christmas. So it makes sense they're trying to cancel.
They're literally the Grinch that stole Christmas. And I'm glad you're reading that up there in New England, because I have a lot of memories from growing up in Belmont in there.
Yeah, this is a great piece, and I'll tweet it out. Chris Bedford, thank you for joining us. We love hearing what's going on in D.C. And enjoy your St. Patrick's Day party. I wish I could be there.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Well, if you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you are missing out. I love Super Beats Heart Chews. They taste great. I'm so sad. I have my empty bag right here. I'm going to call Howie and say, can you order us some more, please? Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grape seed extract. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure rather than a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. And sometimes that happens if you have your second cup of coffee in the afternoon to get through that little lag, and you don't feel great after. You get a little anxious and you feel a little bit wound up. Well, now all you have to do is take 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need. Do what I did, support your heart health with delicious Super Beats chews. Get your Super Beats chews today at getsuperbeats.com/grace. When you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in a 3rd for free, which is a great deal. We need a few new bags here. I think that everyone's been coming in to the studio and stealing mine. Getsuperbeats.com/grace. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace. We'll be back on the other side, guys. We'll open up the phone lines, and I'm going to read you the piece on Dr. Seuss. The experts have finally come for Dr. Seuss, and Chris Bedford is not happy about it. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy Friday. Hope you're all enjoying it. It's a beautiful day today. And today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. It's beautiful out, but it's freezing. So, you know, don't get too confident. You still need that heater. The BOGO sale ends this Sunday. Save $300 and save on your heating bills. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE. BOGO. They've never really done a BOGO sale before that I can remember, so hop on this soon. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite unifying nickname so far? Bitter Clingers, Credulous Boomer Rubes, Chumps, Deplorables, Irredeemables, or Neanderthals?
I do love Neanderthals. I really, really do. But I have my deplorable sweatshirt on. But deep down, my favorite one that has come in handy the most in columns and on the radio has to be the famous Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project's Credulous Boomer Rubes.
Credulous Boomer Rubes polling at 12% for fourth place. Third place goes to Bitter Clingers, second place to the Neanderthals, and in first place, as expected, Deplorables.
I was going to do a different poll question today where I said, who should be the most embarrassed of their hot take on Andrew Cuomo? And I was going to say Molly Jungfest, Jennifer Rubin, Brian Stelter. We couldn't add Fredo in, obviously, because that would just be, you know, unfair.
Ethics.
Exactly. But I wanted to tell you guys this. Molly Jungfest, you probably remember that name because she writes, I believe, for the Daily Beast. But I remember her name because when we had on Ryan Gruduski and we were talking about the John Weaver scandal with the Lincoln Project, all the Lincoln grifters had been covering for, allegedly had been covering for John Weaver. Who had been creeping around, sending inappropriate messages to underage boys. Molly Jungfest, I believe, was the person that Ryan Gruduski said was trying to kill the story. So that's how her name first entered my mind. But then, of course, it entered my mind because she had one of the worst takes on Andrew Cuomo. She wrote a piece on how, you know, everyone's crushing on Cuomo. I think it was published in Vogue or something. And now she's come to make amends. And she wrote, "My Cuomo crush turned out to be Stockholm Syndrome. You're never going to guess who's to blame." Remember the bad hot take she had about Andrew Cuomo, where she was gushing over him and how, you know, attractive he was. How he was her imaginary boyfriend. You know who's to blame for that? Donald J. Trump. Ready for this zinger?
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Hindsight is 2020, but let's remember how scary and opaque the world was a year ago, and what a relief it was to have someone who wasn't Trump projecting competence. Oh, Molly.
How about new?
How about I'm sorry? How about I'm sorry? Okay, so I told you guys I wanted to read from this. There's a couple of lines from Chris Bedford's latest piece. "The experts have finally come for Dr. Seuss, for our childhoods and for our children, but we know their secret." I love this part of the story. He goes through how he was born in Massachusetts, how much all the Dr. Seuss stuff meant a lot to him in his life. And then he says, "The same day, however, Dr. Seuss Enterprises, the company that publishes his books, issued a statement saying that after consulting a panel of experts, they had decided to stop publishing the book I was looking for, along with the delightful If I Ran the Zoo and four other books. These books," they wrote, "portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong." Of course, no child thinks that. No one has ever been hurt by Dr. Seuss. Somebody somewhere did something to these experts who roam our society, imagining grievances, enforcing orthodoxies, ruining lives, banning children's books, and literally stealing Christmas. Somebody did something to kill their spirits, but it wasn't Dr. Seuss, who never could have imagined the things he imagined filled his zoo would someday be banned by experts for being hurtful and wrong. We've seen bannings before. They seem to happen every day now, from Hollywood to the prairie to the pantry. Some of them are stupider than others. But Dr. Seuss? He's personal to all of us in our own ways. He helped teach us to read. He celebrated our graduations. He was there at Christmas time. He shared his imaginary world with us. He brought happiness to people he never knew in places he never went, long after he was gone. How many of us can say that of ourselves and truly believe it? Do these experts bring happiness to children? To anyone? Dr. Seuss seemed like a mythical figure when I was a child, but he was a real man named Theodore Seuss Geisel, born on March 2nd, 1904 in Springfield, Massachusetts. He was a real man who felt real rejection, even walking home to burn his Mulberry Street manuscript after it was rejected by at least 20 different publishers. Generations of Americans would never have read it had a college friend not interceded and saved his story from destruction. Now the next generation won't read it either. Really, really, really great piece about how the left has come for Dr. Seuss. Don't let Brian Stelter or Joy Reid tell you that this is stupid and that you shouldn't care, because they've been saying that for a long time now. They tell you you shouldn't care that Donald Trump's banned from Twitter and that you shouldn't care that YouTube has taken down his CPAC speech, that you shouldn't care about Aunt Jemima, that you shouldn't care about anything being canceled. And I think you should. Guys, we'll be back on the other side with more Cuomo and more immigration news. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Does the president have any second thoughts about the language that he used yesterday? And how does comparing someone to a Neanderthal help convince them to change course and get on board with your public health message?
The behavior of a Neanderthal, just to be very clear, the behavior of. Look, I think the president, what everybody saw yesterday was a reflection of his frustration and exasperation.
Remember when Trump called MS-13 gang members animals? Do you think if he had said the behavior of animals, there wouldn't have been as much uproar? I tend to think not. But speaking of Neanderthals, Connecticut has joined the list of states behaving like Neanderthals. Do you hear this news, Jared? Connecticut is lifting, effective March 19th, all capacity limits on restaurants, retail, libraries, indoor recreation, gyms, museums, offices, and houses of worship.
Please clap.
The deep red state of Connecticut acting like Neanderthals. Kind of interesting. I didn't expect them to be the next state to do this, but good for them. I want to break down what Biden said because it is pretty amazing that this is the guy who we were told was going to unify us. You remember that? He was going to usher in decency and unity and bring the country back together. And now that people want their kids to go back to school, they want to take the masks off if they've already been vaccinated. They don't want this to go on anymore. They want to go back to work. They want to support their families. They want their kids back in school. We are now classified as Neanderthals. From the guy who is really bringing us together, restoring love and normalcy back to America. I find that amazing for a variety of reasons. One is I want to talk about how we talk about illegal immigrants. Because the DHS guy, Mallorca, the other day was describing, and Jared, can we actually find, I don't know if I put it in today's cuts, can we find that cut? He's describing parents that let their 9-year-olds cross the border by themselves, and he describes them as loving parents. Let's play that.
We are not apprehending a 9-year-old child who's come alone, who's traversed Mexico, whose loving parents had sent that child alone. We're not expelling that 9-year-old child.
This is bizarro world. This is 1,000% bizarro world. So you want your kids to stop learning in front of a screen and you want to open up your restaurant and you are a Neanderthal. We have a vaccine in the country and you are the Neanderthal. But people who are sending their kids across the border by themselves are loving parents. First of all, I wouldn't like to classify anyone as Neanderthals, but I'm just confused why regular Americans who have just had enough are so hated by the left. Trump said it a million times. He said, they don't hate me, they hate you. And that is becoming so clear. How much more time do they need us to keep playing this game of putting these masks on every day and not living our lives? And if you want to wear a mask, if you're high risk, I get that. Do it. But forcing people to wear these and accusing people who want to break free of this as being Neanderthals seems a little backwards to me. And what about when the Democrats were peacefully protesting and burning down cities? Once again, benefit of the doubt, everybody's great. But when it's conservatives, and a lot of this isn't even conservatives, it's both sides of the aisle. I mean, it's Connecticut. When they're sick of it, we're so easily disparaged. and ignored and ridiculed by the great uniter, Joe Biden. So let's play a little bit of this sound here. I want to play Greg Abbott. This is from yesterday, cut 22. This is the governor of Texas.
The Biden administration was releasing illegal immigrants into our communities who had COVID. The Biden administration was spreading COVID in South Texas yesterday because of their lack of constraint of testing and quarantining people who'd come across the border illegally. The Biden administration was exposing Texans to COVID. That is Neanderthal type approach to dealing with the COVID situation.
And listen to this story from Axios. Biden confronts mounting humanitarian crisis at the border. Biden came into office sounding a warmer, more welcoming policy that would treat migrants humanely. Desperate people have taken notice. And Biden reversed Trump's COVID-era policy of turning away unaccompanied children, the very group that is now surging and being held for days in border stations unfit for children. Shelters are overflowing. Border crossings are rising. Border patrol facilities are overwhelmed. And the new administration is taking fire from both the left and the right as it grapples with the issue's harsh realities. It's amazing when you tell everybody that you're going to be so nice and welcoming and, you know, that you don't like deporting people and that you're going to stop all deportations and you're going to reverse all of Trump's evil policies. It's crazy that people would show up at the border wearing Joe Biden let us in shirts. I never saw that one coming. Again, you'd have to really be a psychic to be able to predict these kind of things. And let's play. This is Governor Tate Reeves. He's reacting to Biden's Neanderthal comment. This is cut 23.
Today, I feel the same way as I did the day that Hillary Clinton called all of us in middle America deplorables. When President Biden said that we were all Neanderthals, it struck me as someone who needs to get outside of Washington, D.C. and actually travel to middle America.
And the reason I want to play this again for you guys, I know it's from yesterday, but I just want to drill down on the fact that these people don't care about anyone who's standing in their way. They don't care about anyone who disagrees with them. They think we are subhuman and they don't care about us. And they think we can be mocked and ridiculed. And meanwhile, in Joe Biden's America, overdoses are up 119% among kids 13 to 18 years old. Anxiety is up 94% and depression is up 84%. But it doesn't matter, according to Ezra Klein from the New York Times, because Biden has empathy and Biden cares. And that's all that matters. Eddie Scarry from the Washington Examiner wrote a great piece about this. And he quoted a tweet from Ezra Klein that he said, Biden buried two children and a spouse who died because of disasters he couldn't stop. So if he gets a little sharp when politicians undermine something as simple as wearing a mask to save the lives of other people's parents, spouses, and children, well, he followed it up by saying he's watched a lot of Biden's speeches and that the refusal, particularly among political leaders, to wear masks gets him angry in a way little else does. I don't think you need to reach too hard to understand why. There's little as real to him as the possibility and pain of loss. Now, I have plenty of empathy or sympathy for Joe Biden and the loss that he has endured in his life. He's had, you know, plenty of tragedies in his life. But I'm so confused. Now we can't criticize. The president can call us Neanderthals, but we cannot criticize the president for that remark because he's had loss in his life and he's empathetic and he cares. So if he gets a little sharp, whatever that means, rude, condescending, arrogant, we can't say anything because he's had tragedies in his life. So shut up, Neanderthals. Stop criticizing the president. Let's talk about his favorite ice cream. And then to top it all off, just to show you the real disdain that these people have for you, if you haven't figured it out yet, Ron Johnson, the senator, he decided that he was going to have the politicians read this bill they're trying to pass, this porculous COVID bill I think it's like $1.9 trillion. He wanted them to read it, and it took like 11 hours. But they should have to read it. This isn't like a healthcare bill. Right, Nance? We don't have to pass it to see what's in it. You should have to read it. Read every little bit of fat that is in that bill. And this is what Representative Eric Swalwell said about it. This is a tweet he wrote. Very mature. Americans are starving, scraping by, desperate to be vaccinated. But please, Senate GOP, proceed with the theater. You want to talk theater? You just sued the president for January 6th. You guys have the National Guard doing nothing in D.C. You guys waited 6 months until Trump was out of office to even think about passing something. And you admitted it. Nancy Pelosi admitted that, basically. She couldn't pass anything while Trump was president. God forbid we get people checks that can be credited to Donald Trump. They're just straight up evil and they're lying. And Eric Swalwell wants to accuse us of theater. This is the same guy. Forget Fang Fang. Forget the fart on Chris Matthews' show. This is the same guy who took a picture of himself going to a Starbucks across the street and said, there was a Starbucks closer in Trump Tower, but I'm not going to go to that Starbucks. I'm going to go across the street while it's snowing. And took a picture of himself with flurries in his hair. He wants to talk about theater because Ron Johnson has the audacity to think that maybe we have a right to hear, us Neanderthals, maybe we should hear what's going on and hear what our money's being spent towards. Does Eric Swalwell understand that? I know he's not great with finances. I know that. You guys can check that on your own. Google it. Eric Swalwell credit cards. But does he understand that, you know, we're slightly concerned about where this money's going to? And considering 9% is being used on COVID relief, then maybe we'd want to hear about that. And before I go to break here, Jared, I want to play Joy Reid because she's another one. Listen to what she has to say about Ron Johnson. You want to talk conspiracy theorists and theater. Listen to this cut. Cut 12.
And wasting time. Enter the Republican conspiracy senator from Wisconsin by way of Moscow, Ron Johnson.
Calling someone a conspiracy theorist while also citing a conspiracy has to be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Vladimir Putin.
Oh, guys, my blood pressure is so high. I need another super beat. It's absolutely insane. Neanderthal thinking. Give me a break. And we can't criticize him, according to Ezra Klein, because he's nicer than us. He cares more. Okay? Do you get it now? All right, guys. When I get back, I'll take some of your calls. 844-500-4242. I got a lot of exciting news here. I know a lot of people use that expression, there's no such thing as a free lunch. It's not true, and I'm going to tell you why. With my friends at Aviva Trattoria, we will be giving away a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. That means today. Two lucky listeners will have an incredible meal by Aviva and watch the show with me in studio. I got a text from one of our VIPs last night from last week, and she just had the best time, and she was thanking us, and it's always a fun time. Aviva brings an incredible spread, most delicious food, pizza, arancini, salads, chicken parm, the homemade chips with the truffle oil. Delicious. You guys have to check them out. To enter to win, go to gracecurlyshow.com. We put your emails in this Aviva bucket right here. And I hope when Anthony and Marcy come in, they'll bring my favorite chicken parm. I might have to put that on the list this week. And whatever they bring, I know it will be great. From seafood to their homemade pasta, they have four convenient locations in Marlborough, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available, too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. And I'm going to pick a winner now for next week. Our winner is Dave. I don't say the last name because I don't, you know, in case people want to keep it private. But Dave, we will be emailing you. Congratulations. You are the winner. Everyone else, you can still win. Go to Aviva Trattoria, try their food, sign up at gracecurlyshow.com, and we'll be back on the other side. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
We're not gonna make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness.
That was the media loved Andrew Cuomo, when he was just, you know, insulting America, saying we were never that great. Turns out, in hindsight, as Molly Jung would tell you, is 2020, Andy Cuomo was never that great, based off all recent reports. Paul, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Grace, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm wondering if you heard how the National Guardsmen that are protecting the Capitol are being fed.
I saw those stories, Paul. Like, it's terrible food.
It's unbelievable. Mold on the buns, worms in the macaroni and cheese, shards of metal in the food, raw chicken, raw meat. There's like 200 National Guardsmen that were sent to the hospital for abdominal pains. And this is how we're treating the National Guardsmen that are protecting Nancy.
Right. And you're absolutely right. It's insane. And it's all because they're saying that there's going to be some sort of another insurrection based off internet chatter. And I don't know if you saw this, Paul, but Representative Al Green from Texas, he sent a message yesterday by sitting by himself on the Capitol steps. And it was a protest to QAnon and right-wing extremist threats. He was sitting all alone. Everything they're doing right now it's all virtue signaling. It's all political theater. And unfortunately, like Paul said, a lot of these National Guardsmen and women have to deal with it. They have to sit down and sit in garages and, you know, get yelled at by other politicians to put their masks on and Dunkin' Donuts. And for what? For what? So they can pretend that something's going to happen. Pelosi's left-wing security czar demands more fencing, more troops, and more money for Capitol security. This is absolutely insane. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's picks to lead a Capitol security investigation have decided that they will need $130 million a year to establish a full-time task force to guard the historic building. The quick reaction force, the 33-page report states, can consist of either existing law enforcement entities instated under the D.C. National Guard or a rotation of guardsmen from around the country. In addition to a 24-hour reaction force, the report also recommends installing a mobile fence option. I thought walls didn't work. How many times do I have to tell them this? Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, great. I had some good news out of Mexico since that meeting Biden had with Obrador. He went over Biden's four-year plan, and he decided on his next placards that he's putting up for election to have Construye Esa Pared on it, which means build that wall. So the Mexicans are going to build the wall to keep the Americans out in 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I have heard people are moving to Mexico. I mean, Rose McGowan moved there. But the people who are coming in from Mexico, they're wearing shirts that are asking Joe Biden to let them in. It's almost like they think he's going to be nicer to them than Trump. I don't know where they're getting this idea from. And in the meantime, you know, don't worry about illegal immigration. Don't worry about illegal immigrants bringing in COVID and causing that to spike up and then, you know, putting the rest of your life on hold because we'll be in a perpetual state of lockdown. Don't worry about that, okay? These are the things you need to worry about. A make-believe insurrection that's going to happen in D.C. They can't tell you when, but internet chatter is abound. And number two, making sure that video of Trump at CPAC never returns to YouTube. Oh, and you know what? I almost forgot. Number three on your Friday to-do list, making sure that if you ever see one of those six Dr. Seuss books, that you report it. I want you to report it faster than you'd report someone without a mask on. Get on that. Guys, we'll be back on the other side with more of your calls and some Friday fun. This is The Grace Curley Show.